Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. Quick question for you. When you go shopping, specifically for clothing or apparel, how do you pay? With a store account, your credit card, or maybe do you walk in and swipe cash or pay cash? Well, I'm quite keen. I see a few colleagues actually showing me that, hey, they use their check cards. So essentially that's cash settlements that they're making. But I'm quite keen to hear if any of you still make use of your clothing store accounts. Why do I ask this? In light of the fact that we've seen several companies publish their financial results, specifically those that are listed on the stock exchange, think Pepco, Mr. Price, the Fashini Group. These are all household names that essentially provide us with a lot of fashion and clothing as retailers, as some of their segments. And what each of them have consistently reported on is higher credit sales. This matters because if you happen to be an investor, you want to make sure that we as consumers, when we buy our clothes, are able to pay off that credit that we might buy it on. But it also gives us a better understanding of the economic landscape. But someone who knows more about this than I and has published a great level of analysis on this particular assessment of these retail companies is a retail analyst, Finance Ghost, who joins us on the show. Ghost, always a pleasure to speak to you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you for having me back.
As you can tell, Siren Jabula and myself were like relishing in reading your article and your reports as they came out over the last few days. Because you're quite right. This points to something that we might take for granted as our consumer experience, but it really translates into a significant observation for investors. But let's just start there. Fashion and clothing retailers, cash, credit sales. What has been the dynamic over the last few years that now appears to be changing?
Yeah, so I think let's start by just pointing out that in the world of apparel and clothing sales, being able to sell on credit is actually really important. And the reason it's so important is that these are effectively semi-durable goods. So it's not like selling food. You know, when you need to sell food on credit, something's gone wrong. You just have to look at what's happened with this whole Klarna story in the US. I don't know if you followed that at all. But basically, because clothing is a semi-durable good, it's the kind of thing that people want to be able to buy on credit. It's not like furniture where you want to do it over a longer period. Generally speaking, credit sales are designed to match the lifespan of what you are buying. If you think about it, you go and finance a car, yes, and you can do that over several years. When you finance a house, you can do that over 20 or 25 years. Clothing, you do it over, you know, 3 months or 6 months or whatever the case may be. And the dynamic is that the level of prevailing interest rates will have an impact on credit sales. So when interest rates are high and consumers are really struggling and households are under pressure, they will potentially want credit, but retailers might sit back and say, actually, there's too much debt in the system. Mm. The rates are high. There's going to be risk of impairments here. You know, this is dicey. But as rates come down and books improve and levels of household debt, then they can start to open the taps a bit and actually give out more credit.
This sounds like good news and essentially like a perfect mix, because in your newsletter, what you describe is that there's a shift in the metric, that credit sales at some point were very muted in South Africa, but they seem to be improving. Is this, I guess, just indicative of the fact that maybe we as consumers are becoming a lot more disciplined with paying off our credit as well?
I think there's an element of that, but I also think that the retailers are becoming better at gauging when they can actually give the credit out. I mean, we've had examples historically of corporate failures and, you know, really big mistakes and that kind of thing around credit. And I think that our local retailers have a pretty good understanding of the local operating environment, when they can actually give out credit, you know, and when it'll get paid back and how they can think about this. And you can see it in businesses like Pepco, right? I mean, they are driving the credit story more than anyone else.
Yeah.
That credit interoperability strategy that they talk about, a lovely mouthful for us on live radio, but it went through. No, I'm kidding. And they make it work. You know, they have built this to say, we're going to have lots of different retailers in our business, but we're going to have this credit layer, this functionality that sits on top and helps us give out credit in a way that works. Others are not necessarily as baked in. You know, at Mr. Price, for example, their credit sales are actually way less important to them. They'll do it, but it's not core to their business, unlike Pepco, TFG Africa, and then Lewis at the other end of the spectrum, where credit is super important.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is so important, right, to understand the strategies that these businesses have implemented. And maybe let's deep dive into Pepco, that big phrase you used, interoperability. Of their credit book speaks to the cell phone, speaks to the clothing, as well as even the home outlets that they have among a plethora of other stores. Help us understand, you know, how this continues to contribute to their secret sauce, I guess. And does it make them a lot more competitive against their peers?
Yeah, so they certainly do come up with some fancy terms for it, right? But
yeah.
I think it does over time make them more competitive. And what's quite interesting is in their latest numbers, credit sales were around 15% of the total, which is actually not that much if you think about it. But if you then look down a little bit into the trend, cash sales were up just over 7%, but credit sales were up almost 29%. So they are pushing hard on this. They really are. And what's also very interesting, and what's happening at Pepco, if you look through all of their recent acquisitions and what they're talking about as a management team, when people hear Pepco, they just think Pep, right? Mm. And then maybe if you know a little bit about the group, you think, okay, Ackermans.
Yes.
This is not exactly high fashion. This is basics. This is, you know, the merchandise in store doesn't necessarily change that much. You're going to buy in school uniforms for kids, et cetera, et cetera. That's been their historical business. What they're doing now is they're going way more into more fashionable stuff. Now, that means, you know, quicker churn of inventory, potentially better margins, but more fashion risk, for example. Mm-hmm. They spun out Ackermans Woman and rebranded it. I think Ayana is the name, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, this is just a different kind of approach here. And again, credit sales are going to be more and more important in that environment. So I think what Pepco is doing is actually very interesting. It really is. And just last point on Pepco. So Avenida, that business that they bought in Brazil, mm-hmm. credit sales there are a massive percentage of the total. I can't actually remember offhand what it is, but it's very, very high.
42%.
And there we go. And, you know, that just shows you that the opportunity is there in emerging markets. And they will learn something from how Avenida's got in there. Make no mistake. These management teams are smart. They'll go and really dig into the business and try and figure out whether that works, whether it doesn't. They'll have targets internally, if not externally shared, for what percentage of total sales they want to get to on credits. And Pepco is definitely building towards that.
This is going to be fascinating, Ghost, because as you said, there's a sweet spot to this in making sure that you get the right level of credit sales and making sure customers can respond to them, especially given, you know, in a market like South Africa, we often bemoan high unemployment, affordability gets strained, rising inflation. Whilst the tide is turning right now, it will really take a very smart model to navigate that journey throughout the different tides. And I say that because if we look at, as you've mentioned, previous companies, even banks in South Africa, at one point African Bank was typically regarded to be a bit careless in terms of the lending practices. So I'm keen to get your thoughts.
That's the best example, actually, is African Bank. So that's the example I was going to use earlier about how they were then linked up with Ellerines, I think it was.
Yes.
This was a while ago.
Yeah.
You know, and how that all fell over. So a point I wanted to just make, if we still have time, around credit sales is that the reason why the clothing retailers love it is because of the margins they can achieve on the products. So clothing, beginning of season, full price, gross margins are like 60%. By end of season, there's a reason why they can say, oh, half price. You know, they're basically, even at that point, they're still making like a little bit of money. So if you're selling at a 60% gross margin, a higher percentage of the book can go bad and you're still making money. If you're selling food at a 20% gross margin, you've got way less margin for error, literally, in terms of the book going bad. So that's why the economics for clothing are so supportive of selling on credit, is because the margins are so high. So you can afford to run a relatively hot credit loss ratio, but there's still a window that you need to operate in. If you go beyond that, it can get very bad very quickly. So that's a big part of what we're seeing at the moment, is the retailers are saying, thank you very much, we'll turn on the taps, we'll lock in the high margin sales, we'll make sure we avoid inventory obsolescence at the end of season.
Yes.
And actually, the book is in really good shape right now. But at some point, it will start to deteriorate, and then you'll see them slow down a bit on credit sales. But I don't think we're there yet, not at this point in the cycle.
I want to squeeze in two more questions here, Ghost. One specifically focused on competition from the likes of Shein and other Temu, Chinese clothing retailers. Is that still a threat to our local apparel retail stores?
I think it might get worse, right? So if that stuff stops landing in the US, then where's it going? I keep wondering about this because I read the earnings report from TJX, which is an off-price retailer in the US. So basically, they they just buy excess stuff in the market and get it on the shelf. They don't have this kind of standard merchandising strategy. They call it a hand-to-mouth buying strategy. It's super interesting. It's basically hustling at scale. Mm. That's essentially what it is, and getting stuff on the shelf. And there was a question there about whether or not they think that goods from China will be diverted into Europe. You know, are they seeing more of that? Because they are right at the coalface of how stuff is moving around the world. And they said, no, they're not really seeing it land in Europe. So if Chinese shipments to America are plummeting, which they are, and they're not really landing in Europe, then where are they going to go? And I think that is a risk factor for South African retailers, because this is a really fertile ground. There's no way South Africa can pick up the level of demand that the US was putting into those companies. But I can't see the South African government doing stuff like closing the loophole unless the local textile industry really does start getting severely hammered, even more than it has historically. Gotcha. So I think that competition risk almost gets worse at the moment.
Goodness. And lastly, fintechs. It does seem as though for Pepco, even Mr. Price, it's the cell phone sales, the cell phone packages and offerings that they offer their customers that has really set them apart here too. Is that also another growth story for them, just in terms of improving margin?
Yeah, I think, again, if you've got a store, if there's anything you can do to improve the trading density, so you think about the cell phone kiosk, it's a small area, right? But you can put a lot of sales through it as opposed to another rack of clothes. So it's really worth it for them to actually have that offering in store. I will say that the word fintech does get used and abused a bit. So there's a lot of genuine fintech inside Pepco, without a doubt, the value-added services stuff into the informal market, all of that. I personally am not sure that something like, you know, selling cell phones is fintech. I know they do that, but I think that's just a typical corporate thing where they bundle everything under this, you know, sexy term fintech, whereas in reality, some of it is just good old-fashioned retail. But that's what these retailers understand, is good old-fashioned retail, and they're always looking for how to get trading density higher, margins up. It's a wonderful thing to watch. I think it's why we both enjoy the sector, right?
Oh, for
I know
sure.
You do.
Oh, definitely. I was about to say, you. We know why they give them these sexy names. It's provocative. It's great for branding and advertising, right?
Exactly. Credit interoperability strategy right up there.
Oh, you know? There we go. I'll leave you with that last word then, because I'm not going to say it. But thank you so much for your time. As always, Ghost, always a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you, Gugulethu. Always fun.
Thank you. That's Finance Ghost, retail analyst, helping us understand the lay of the landscape. Next time you walk into a Mr. Price, Pepco stores, that's Ackermans, Techie Town, and even the likes of Ayana, also take a look at the Fashini Group. This does give you some perspective around how are we buying? How are we paying for our clothing? And maybe you can give us your insight. Do you still have a store account? Do you use it to make purchases for your clothes? Or do you just swipe the cash that you have in your current account? Let us know. We want to know your thoughts on 063-688-0959. Nomfundo has done exactly that.
Hi, Gugu. How are you? You know, I do cash these days, ne? I don't do clothing accounts anymore. I always buy my clothes cash. If I cannot afford it that time, I will do the lay-by. And now they've introduced this thing of saying that you can take the clothes with you and then you pay that money in 3 months, but you don't leave the clothes at shop, but you take them with you and then they will divide it with for 3 months. And yeah, I do that.
Yes.
Credits, it's a rip-off these days. Eh? When you pay it, it's got a huge interest.
Hello.
I don't do the clothing account anymore.
Hello.
I buy cash, I do lay-bys. And then I do that, the one, I think they call it pay as what?
Buy now,
pay
later.
And then they just give you the clothes for that amount. Let's say maybe they will put a 3,000 under your name. And then they said, no, you qualify to take clothes for 3,000. But it doesn't have interest. It's like a lay-by. And then it's like, okay, no, actually, I want 1,000 clothes, the clothes that can cost 1,000 rand. And then you buy for 1,000 rand. And then that 1,000 rand, you divide it by 3. And then you pay the first percent, and then you take the clothes with you, and then you come back, and then you pay the second month, and then the third month, and then you finish.
100%. Nomfundo, thank you so much for your voice note. That is actually called Buy Now and Pay Later as a payment plan and process for many people, just to make it a lot more affordable to buy the goods that you like. But I'm keen to hear your thoughts. You heard our analysis with Finance Ghost about how retailers are improving their credit sales and trying to find the right balance that, you know, Gugu, you're good for this amount of money. We trust that you'll be able to pay us back, but we don't want to give you too much credit and run the risk that you would have bought clothes that you can't even afford to pay for in 2, 3, 6, even 7 months' time. But share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. When we come back, we're giving you some insight into multi-choice and a reflection on their numbers and some opportunities that might exist for the business to continue to capitalize its growth.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.